Tonight, Brother Bussy did a series in the summer on the Holy Spirit, and I want to emphasize that a little bit tonight. We will divide up into groups in a second, but tonight I want us to talk about the Holy Spirit. Why did Jesus hype him up so much? Why did he build him up? Look with me in John chapter 14 this evening. John chapter 14. We'll read our text here, have a special, we'll dismiss the kids. We did not read our missionary letter yet, did we? Okay, maybe we'll do that at the end of the service tonight. Robbie, are you going downstairs though? You're up here? Okay, we'll do that at the end of the service tonight. We'll just go ahead and do that this evening since we're already rolling along. Look at John chapter 14, verse 16 through 18. And let me just say this, to kind of guide our minds on this Bible study tonight. I love the way the Godhead, for lack of a better word, hypes each other up. It's like Jesus really wants you to know God the Father, and he really boosts up the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit turns around and says, man, to be like the Son, they don't talk in that vernacular. They don't say man. I mean, God. In their holy language, they say the other two are awesome, right? Okay? They probably wouldn't even say that. They brag on each other. They boost each other up, okay? And much like a wife and a husband should do, you should always build your spouse in front of your children. Don't tear them down and make them look like idiots. That's how modern day sitcoms are, right? I mean, teasing's one thing, having them, but if you're consistently tearing down your spouse, your kids lose respect for that spouse, you know, someone like that. And same thing with us toward the kids. We shouldn't be tearing them down all the time and making life miserable for them. We're supposed to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They do need admonition, but they also need nurture. And Jesus, look what he says about the Holy Spirit. John 14, and then we'll go to John 16. And I want to talk about that subject tonight. So we're doing the Lord Teach Us series for a little while on Wednesday nights. And we're doing this part. There's some things that Jesus wants us to know before he actually teaches us doctrine. A few weeks ago, we talked about his love. Last week, we learned about how he prays for us. Wow. Tonight, watch what he tells us about the other person of the Godhead. Look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, capital C, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. All right, hang a right two chapters to John chapter 16. And then we'll hear our special, dismiss our kids. And then we'll be split up into four groups for fun Bibles. Four groups and one deaf group, of course. Look at verse 7. The Bible says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Watch what Jesus says. It is expedient for you that I, Jesus, go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will prove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Imagine being with Jesus for 3.5 years and seeing all the things that he has done and all the miracles. Sometimes we forget to put ourselves in the place of the audience. All the hype about what Jesus did, all the miracles. He's the Son of God. And then he says this, listen to me. I've got to go so you can meet the Holy Spirit. Trust me. I mean, I've got to get out of here so you can meet the Holy Spirit. Because if I don't go, he's not going to come. But if I go, he's going to come. It's going to be awesome. That's what he says in modern day vernacular. So, the Holy Spirit, why did Jesus emphasize him so much? I want us to talk about that a little bit tonight, and I'll give you a couple thoughts, and then we'll wrap it all up. This time we have a special, and I'll tell you what groups will split up in a second. I already know what they are, but I still want to make you put it on the spot right there. All right, Miss Minnie, come sing for us. We'll dismiss the kids, get out of the study. Thank you.
So proud, my mind is so unfocused. I see the things you do through me, as great things I have done. But now you gently break me, and lovingly you take me, and hold me as my Father, and mold me as my Maker. I ask you, how many times will you pick me up when I keep on letting you down? And each time I will fall short of your glory, how far will forgiveness abound? And you answer, my child, I love you. And as long as you're seeking my face, you'll walk in the power of my daily sufficient grace. At times I may feel weak and be a bit discouraged, knowing that someone somewhere could do a better job. For who am I to serve you? I know I don't deserve you. And that's the part that burns in my heart and keeps me hanging on. I ask you, how many times will you pick me up when I keep on letting you down? And each time I will fall short of your glory, how far will forgiveness abound? And you answer, my child, I love you. And as long as you're seeking my face, you'll walk in the power of my daily sufficient grace. You are so patient with me, Lord. As I walk with you, I'm learning what your grace really means. The price that I could never pay was paid at Calvary. So instead of trying to repay you, I'm learning to simply obey you by giving up my life to you. For all that you've given to me, I ask you, how many times will you pick me up when I keep on letting you down? And each time I will fall short of your glory, how far will forgiveness abound? And you answer, my child, I love you. And as long as you're seeking my face, you'll walk in the power of my daily sufficient grace.
Thank you, Miss Mandy. All right, kids, you are dismissed. Let's see, who's preaching tonight? Travis, all right, very good. Appreciate our young people and those workers that work with them. Awesome. All right. This is October, hard to believe, but we still got some nice warm weather. But what do they always say about after Labor Day? You can start dressing in your fall colors and all that good stuff. Not that that ever really bothers me, but a lot of people are following that kind of stuff. But that also means you change some of the things you drink and eat. My wife's already made beef stew once, which is not something we eat in July. So let's split up into four hot beverage groups, and I'm going to stick the coffee group way far in that corner back there. So if you're a coffee lover back there, coffee way back there, Def, you can stay here. We'll do hot chocolate in that corner. apple cider here and hot tea right here. So we'll split up into those four groups where your favorite is. Go there, pick a spokesperson, and we're going to discuss the Holy Spirit. Why did Jesus hype him up so much? All right, we got coffee, hot chocolate, apple cider, tea. Coffee way back in that corner there. And it grieves my heart to see so many flowing back to that right corner there. I pray for you all. And hot chocolate's good, tea's good, cider's good. I don't know how many people like hot cider. Tea's not very big either. Looks like it's, yes, Brother Tim. You need another corner? Another group? How about warm Pepsis, Brother Tim? Hot Pepsis? Brother Samson, warm bourbon? Is that a testimony? That's good to hear. All right. Wow. I didn't realize so few people like tea. The tea is a small group. All right. We will abolish the tea group. Tea now has become apple cider. So we'll just have three groups plus the deaf, so four. All right. Coffee, tea and apple cider, and hot chocolate. All right. Remember, Jesus hypes up the Holy Spirit, and we'll go ahead and you may start now. Hey, man. I guess I'll come down with the tea and the cider group. Pick a spokesperson and you may begin. The question, why did Jesus hype up the Holy Spirit so much? Why does he say, man, I've got to leave or else he won't come? What is the significance? What's the role? Things like that. Why did Jesus, he doesn't say a whole lot really about him in those about 12 verses we read. But now that we know, how do you answer that question? He promoted it. Thank you, Janelle. Good word. He promoted the Holy Spirit instead of hype him up. But why did he promote the Holy Spirit so much? Thank God for a wonderful wife. All right, go at it. You got about 10 minutes. Discuss away. Let's go ahead and do some online. Miss Stacy's mom says coffee is great, Pastor. I disagree, Miss Shirley. God bless you. Miss Stacy, do you like coffee? You do. Your daughter likes coffee too. All right. I noticed the coffee group's getting smaller. The Lord is working. Linda Fisher says, because they are part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, you really can't have one without the other. That's good. All right. We'll go ahead and start with the deaf, and then we'll go right across. I guess we'll go left to right. That'd be perfect. All right. Deaf, what do you have here? Deaf. The deaf group came up with Holy Spirit. Obviously, is the comforter, but he also convicts us. He has the role of convicting us. The conviction is to lead to confession of sin so that we can get comforted. And the Holy Spirit also helps guide us. He keeps us on the right path. And the Holy Spirit does the work so that when Jesus left, the work continued. Jesus started this incredible work, and it can continue with the Holy Spirit being here. Also, the Holy Spirit, maybe for lack of a better phrase, he knocks on the door of lost people, the door of their heart, so that they have the opportunity to make the decision to be saved or not saved. The Holy Spirit also can help us believers become different from the world so that people might see Jesus in us even more. Good. Very good. All right. Very good. We'll just go left to right. So we'll start with you, Brother Jack, and go to Brother Coons and Brother Tim. Thank you.
We were the apple cider gang over there, and it wasn't just because he was going to spice things up. Nobody said that over there. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, we started off because he knew that he wasn't leaving, even though everybody on earth, saw his death. And the shockingness that could be, Christ knew that he wasn't leaving. He was just giving us another form of his love for us, but we just couldn't comprehend that yet, not until afterwards and later on. And the Holy Spirit just acted as confirmation that we were doing his work and how it prepares us, and it confirms what Christ said to us as it convicts us, it comforts us, it separates us from others, and people see that. When we have the Holy Spirit inside us, gears us up to have full access to Christ. We know he is the absolute comforter, but that anticipation of what that is and what that truly means. And his prophesying about the Holy Spirit, keeping his promises, and how that gets us through the times that we have, whether they're good or whether they're bad, or whether anticipating that time when he comes back. That is brought in, and that's kind of a repeat there. And then going on, just it kind of comes full circle with how his ministry, what his ministry was here on earth. He came not just to leave, but he came to leave us with more, and telling all the people what, even though he told what was going to happen, we didn't comprehend it, but after his death, that gave so much faith, carrying on today and believing what you can't see. That sums up what our group had to say.
So the Spirit was needed after Christ left, because he could and needed to be omnipresent because of the much work that would be done. He wanted us to know that we would never be alone, John 14:16. He was sent to fulfill God's will. He was just sent to provide us with the Bible, a guide to help us see our sin and to understand God's word. He is the first part of salvation that does the draw. The threefold purpose the Holy Spirit's laid out for us in John 16:8, to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. He guides us into all truth. He came to glorify God, John 16:13-14. The much work that would need to be done after the resurrection, he would come to do that work within men and provide the unction necessary. He came to bring unity, and as we're Spirit-led, unity and unification, unifier should be evident amongst us as Christians based on the work of the Holy Spirit. As part of the Godhead, he resides within us and he guides us. He's our conscience. He seals our salvation, Ephesians 1:15. He produces Christian character within us, not our own self-effort, Galatians 2:20, crucified with Christ. And baptizes us with Holy Spirit and with fire, Matthew 3:11.
We had a lot of good answers. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to repeat them all. But he wanted us to have a personal relationship. When Jesus was here, he was one. When the Holy Spirit is around, he's everybody with everyone. Jesus gives us, we have somebody accountable to ourselves within ourselves. We have peace when the Holy Spirit is with us. It makes us secure. When you have little kids in your household, they crawl up in your lap. They make you feel secure. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He makes us be secure in what we are doing, so we can be bold in what we do for him. He helps us. He helps us do what God wants us to do. He pricks our hearts when we are doing something wrong. He's comforter. That's the main word. That's what he is. And he also, when we're doing something wrong or doing he lets us know that maybe we shouldn't be doing what we're doing.
All right. Very good study. I love hearing the feedback and the study, and we're just going to kind of wrap it up, put an exclamation point, cherry on top, pull it all together. So the question was, why did Jesus promote and hype up the Holy Spirit so much? And let's kind of do some introductory thoughts on that, great discussion, all of the answers we give. Now, let's just say this on the very onset of this particular message for tonight. We do have the luxury of reading a complete Bible now and seeing how significant the role of the Holy Spirit is. All right. So when the disciples were listening to Jesus talk about the Holy Spirit here, there's been no salvation of Saul, who became Paul, who would write a lot about the Holy Spirit's work in the church age epistles. And then the Holy Spirit's activity is a little bit foreign to the disciples because of his role in the Old Testament. All right, the Old Testament Holy Spirit is different than the New Testament Holy Spirit. Not different persons, but different roles, different responsibilities. And we can prove that in another Bible study at a different time. And Jesus kind of proves that by some things he says. So let me just call to your attention a couple of thoughts to help us bring it all together on why he promotes him so much. So again, this is Jesus, and I want you to know some things. This is Jesus, and I want to say some things. I want to share with you my heart. First of all, we started with the first most important. I love you. All right, last week, wow, he prays for us. John 17. Remember we talked about last week how he does pray for, he prayed for the disciples, but then he says, I pray for them that shall believe. What a blessing it is. Now look at verse 16 again of John 14. He says, and I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter. Now, if you translate that to the Greek, it actually means a person that is there, a consoler, an exhorter. And that this is significant to them because of the turmoil of the day. We don't understand what the disciples' lives are like. I mean, every time they woke up in the morning, there was a chance that the Jews could have them all executed. The Romans could have them banished or executed. And so they were wanting that assurance. And as long as Jesus was there, they knew he could help them out. He knew that they knew that they'd be okay. So that was a big deal to them. But then he makes a statement that I think is really important. He says, he may abide with you forever. So stop at verse 16. He hasn't said anything about the Spirit, okay? He calls him the Comforter. That's significant because the disciples are probably thinking right now, what? Now listen, the Holy Spirit shows up in Genesis 1 verse 2. And the last time he's mentioned is in Revelation 22, verse 17. So think about it. He's in the second verse in the Bible in the beginning, and he's four verses still away from the end of the Bible in Revelation. And he's all through the Bible in the Old Testament and New Testament. So for those that believe in modalism, which is a very unique doctrine, I don't have time to get into it, M-O-D-A-L-I-S-M. Have you ever heard of that doctrine before? It's interesting to study. Modalism, it's actually very controversial issue. I won't get into it tonight, but it does challenge the Trinity of God a little bit. They recognize God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but they still believe there's a God the Father is above, and the two are kind of subject to him, whereas we believe clearly that they are all three persons in one. Some explain it with the ice, water, and steam concept. You put ice in water to cool your beverage. You like water to drink, and then steam comes from melted ice. They're all the same substance, but they have three different forms and different purposes and serve different purposes. 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, which Brother Andy pointed out in Sunday school this past Sunday morning, is a key scripture that many other versions will actually distort the teaching of the Trinity, the Godhead. So some people ask sometimes about the role of the Godhead, the point of the Godhead. And I say to everybody, listen to me. It's so clear as you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, cover to cover, there is no doubt that there are three persons in the Godhead. No doubt at all. That is very clear. In Genesis chapter 1, you see all three of them. In the beginning, God. That's God the Father. Verse 2, the Spirit. Then he says, let there be light. And that same light is John 1. There's the Godhead right there in the first few verses of the Bible. All right, and then in the same chapter, he says, let us, plural, make man in our, plural, image. And so God is teaching us that. We understand now that we're saved tonight, we are a triune being, spirit, soul, and body. But according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, our body is condemned because of sin. So we have to try to make sure the spirit is first, then the soul, then the body. But thank God one day when we die, our body stays in the ground. We go to heaven someday. We get a brand new glorified body to go along with our brand new spirit and that soul we got at conception. All right? The Trinity is actually very clear when you study it out. It's clear enough that a child can understand it, really. But at the same time, again, the disciples do not understand the role of the Holy Spirit because they heard David say things like this. Please take not thy spirit from me. They knew that Saul lost the presence of the Spirit because, again, in the Old Testament, there was a difference. Samson lost the power and presence of the Spirit when he got his hair cut. That's in the Bible. You can study that out. You can find that out. So they hear this. So then in verse 17, he makes this statement, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why cannot the world receive the Spirit of God? Because they can't receive the Spirit until they receive the Son of God. At the receiving of the Son of God, you also receive the Spirit of God. But watch what Jesus says. You cannot receive because it seeth him not. But do we see him? Do we see the Holy Spirit? No. Why would Jesus say that? Stay with me now. Seeth it not, neither knoweth him. But watch this. Ye know him. Stop. So Jesus says the world doesn't see him, therefore they don't know him. But watch what Jesus says to them. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And he doesn't mention anything about seeing to those of us that receive him. What's the significance of that? Watch this now. When you know the Spirit, you then see him in action. So Jesus says, you Jews are so ate up. You disciples are so ate up by seeing things. You know, we want signs, we want signs, we want signs. So Jesus in his wisdom is saying, you're not going to see the Spirit. The world doesn't see him because they don't know him. Well, that makes sense. But you're going to know him and he's going to dwell in you and shall be in you. All of a sudden, seeing is not as significant because the Spirit's work is the evidence of his presence. If you are saved tonight, your salvation is the evidence of the Spirit's work. That couple that got saved a week ago tonight, they got saved because the Spirit of God was working on them. They received Christ, and at salvation, they received the Spirit of God. So why is Jesus hyping or promoting? Continuing the thought. So he says he's going to dwell with you and shall be in you. Watch this. I will not leave you comfortless. But back up to verse 16 again. He says, I'm going to give you another comforter that he may abide with you. Next two words. How long? Once again, you can find simple verses like this that prove eternal security. The Spirit of God lives with us forever. And that does make sense because even at death, we go to heaven and we live with him forever. Newsflash, the Holy Spirit's going to be in heaven. Hallelujah. Again, you see eternal security there, all right? Now go to John 16. Let's do a couple of other things as far as laying the groundwork. Look at verse number 7. Now, remember, between these two chapters, what does Jesus teach them? In John 15, he talks about how he's the vine and we are the branches. Stay with me now. Jesus says this, without me, ye can do. Without me, ye can do. But then he makes some crazy statement where he says, greater works will you do than he does. Whoa! Wait, Jesus, are you telling us that we're going to do greater works than you did? And he says, sure. How can we? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. And can I tell you, man, great works have been done since the Spirit of God came on this planet and indwelled Christians. And that's why we still have church on this Wednesday night. And that's why we're still learning the Bible. And that's why teenagers want to study the Bible before church on Wednesday night. And that's why you're here on a Wednesday night church. And the Spirit of God is so significant, so powerful, so sweet. He's not third place. He's not the third. He's not Three's Company. He's not the third person of the. He is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son. And if you ask the Spirit if he is, he'll humbly say, oh, I want you to just focus on Jesus. But man, can I tell you tonight, the Holy Spirit of God is sweet. His presence is so significant. And thank God we have him with us tonight. Verse chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So listen to me. I got to go. When I go, I'll send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. All right. There, watch now. Verse 12 and 13 are very significant for this particular thought for tonight. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Stop. Why would he say that verse right there? Why would he say that statement to the disciples? Anybody want to take a gander at that? They weren't mature enough. They weren't ready for it. That's true. They weren't even indwelt by the Spirit yet, right? He's going to send them. Why else? They would not have understood a lot of those things. That's exactly right. They're still hung up on Israel. Proof of that, Acts chapter 1, as soon as Jesus is resurrected and about to ascend, what do the Jews ask? After all that Jesus went through, I mean, he was crucified, he raises from the dead, he's standing before them, and he's like, okay, question and answer session. Wilt thou this time restore the kingdom again to Israel? Well, we're so obsessed with Jewish kingdom. We want the kingdom again. We want to defy Rome. And Jesus is like, you don't understand. I defied Satan. Wow. How significant and powerful is that? Whoa, glory to God for that. They get it. Why else? How about this one? They didn't have the Bible yet. They did not have a complete Bible yet. That is very significant in this. Jesus is saying, there's so many things I want to teach you. Man, wait till you... Oh, man, if I could tell you about Revelation. If I could just tell you about Ephesians. Did y'all hear that beep? Okay, I just want to make sure, man. CTE, they say, is real. I've been hitting the head a lot of times, so sometimes I hear someone's, all right, so who was that? Was that yours, Josh? Okay. I'm sorry, you're the first person I have to look at, all right? All right, stay with me now. So Jesus is like, man, wait till you, oh man, I'm going to have this Damascus Road experience with Paul. He's going to get saved, and then he's going to start writing epistles. And then Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when he talks about love being it all. And he says all these many things will cease. Why? Because the Word of God is complete. When the Word of God is complete. So listen, we in this dispensation, this generation, have got it made. Because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us forever. And we have a complete Bible. Wow. Wow. All right. So let me give you three quick reasons why Jesus hyped him or promoted him, babe, so much. Number one, I believe that Jesus Christ wants Christians to live with a spirit of anticipation. I know that's one of my favorite words. I use it in a lot of my outlines, but I love that. The Holy Spirit of God gives you and I the opportunity to have to live in the wake of anticipation. All the time, we can anticipate things. John 14, verse 16. We can anticipate the presence of the Comforter, and he's going to abide with us forever, which means we can anticipate to be him to be there tomorrow and next week and next month and when we go through the good times and when we go through the bad times and when we experience gains and when we experience losses, losing loved ones. Some of our own church family have experienced that the last few days. You can anticipate that the Spirit of God is there with you. He's hovering about you. He's loving on you. He's giving you what people say to me sometimes. I don't understand it, Pastor. I'm experiencing a grace that I can't explain. Yeah, guess who brought that to you? The spirit of anticipation. Well, man, I've got a lost loved one. Well, guess what? Anticipate that they might be saved, because while you're sleeping at night and while you're busy sometimes going about your day and you're not praying 24/7 for Uncle Bob to get saved, guess who's working on Uncle Bob right now? And guess who's working on him all the time? The Holy Spirit of God. He wants you to have a spirit of anticipation. I was counseling somebody who struggles with depression recently, and they asked me one of the reasons why I have victory over it, why I'm able to shut it off. Listen to me. I'm not better than anybody, but can I tell you, the spirit of anticipation helps me. I wake up every day thinking that this could be the day of the rapture. Not every day. I take that back. I'm not perfect in that area. Please forgive me for saying that. But I strive to wake up every morning. This could be the day of the rapture. This could be the day of a nationwide revival. This could be the day I become a millionaire. This could become the day I lose 40 pounds. This could be that. I mean, I anticipate every single day. I have a list of things that I anticipate. I anticipate things about this church that I'm not going to share with y'all because it's between me and the Holy Spirit. And listen, a lot of those anticipations have been coming to fruition. Don't mind me. I'm still like the kid 3 months after Christmas. Don't take my toy back. It ain't going to be in the yard sale in May. We're keeping that gym, bless God. I've been dreaming about that for a long time. I've been anticipating that for a long time. Except God's funny. I used to park here in the middle of the night and walk up there and say, God, there's going to be the gym. God, there's going to be the gym. And God's laughing. Ha, Randy, turn around. Oh, there's the gym. There's the gym. Thanks a lot, God, right? But the spirit of anticipation. And that's why Jesus is like, listen to me. Listen to me. I know you guys love me and I love you too. I know you're going to deny me, Peter, but I still love you. All right. But man, I got to go so you can get the spirit. Trust me. All right. Number one, anticipation. Number two, expectation. Well, that's the same as anticipation. No, I feel like anticipation is more of a spirit, an attitude. You can anticipate miraculous things. Expectation is this. It is expecting the Holy Spirit to do his job. For example, on December 25th, which happens to be on a Sunday this year, I can anticipate certain gifts for my family. And I may or may not get those what I anticipate. But I'm expecting presents under that tree, and they better be there. right? There's a difference between anticipation and expectation. Expectation is this. You can count on the Holy Spirit to be there tomorrow morning to help you read your Bible. He may not make you a millionaire tomorrow. He may not save Uncle Bob tomorrow, but he will be there in expectation to help you, guide you. Wow, you have a personal guide to the Bible. All right, I'm hurrying. I'm just about through. Look at there with me. Expectation. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart and send him unto you, and when he has come, he will reprove the world. All right. Where is that verse that says guide? I'm drawing a blank all of a sudden. Was that in chapter 14? What is it? How did I miss it? Thank you. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, when he's come, he will guide you into all truth. Let me help you real quickly with church. How many right now, it's election season's coming up. You listen to some of these things that these liberal Democrats and even liberal Republicans say out there, and you just scratch your head and say, how could you even believe something like that? You know why you don't believe that? Because you're in all truth. They don't have the Holy Spirit guiding them in that area. They believe anything. Why? Because they're believing the doctrine of that which is right in your own eyes. Judges. That's what they believe. And if you make yourself God, you're going to get in trouble. If I make myself God, I'm going to get in trouble. So thank God the Holy Spirit is with us. And number three, and I'm done. So number one, anticipation. You can always get excited anticipating things. Number two, expectation. Listen, I got an appointment tomorrow morning with the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure exactly which minute it will be tomorrow morning, but I'll probably get up a little bit earlier. And then sometime tomorrow, me and the Holy Spirit are going to sit down. We're going to read the Bible. And you know what he does? When my mind starts to distract from the Bible because I got to think about, where I got to be, the Holy Spirit goes, Randy, you're not focusing. Look what the Father's saying to you right now. Read, right there. I'm very ADHD. So I have to, he helps me. He guides me. You know, hey, keep your hands in the cart. All right. Make sure you're buckled in the roller coaster. Hands in the car. And sometimes I still get a little daring, and the Holy Spirit's like, no, keep your hands in the car, right? How many hold your hands out on a roller coaster? I always do. How many think you're going to hit it on those poles? Anyway, all right. So, but that's expectation. Number three, watch this, revelation. Revelation. He reveals things to us today that David had no clue about. Abraham had no clue about. Even the Apostle Paul, I don't think, had a clue. You know why? Because Revelation wasn't even written. Paul dies. He never got to read Revelation. And we have all of that. So watch this and I'm done. Look at this, John 16 again. I mean, the Holy Spirit's just amazing. All right. John 16, look at this, verse number 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. So what would Jesus say to Bible Baptist Church on this October 5th, 2022? He would say, I am saying many things to you because you can bear them now. You know why he would say that to us tonight? Because we have a finished Bible and we have the Holy Spirit. He has complete confidence that if you are a willing vessel and I am a willing vessel, that the Spirit of God will teach me. So be careful with all this new stuff people keep coming out with now. There's all these new doctrines and people are leaving the faith because of some new truth, new this. If it was so significant that he had to reveal it today, how come they didn't learn it 20 years ago or 30 years ago? Has the Bible not been completed for some time now? Correct. There's nothing new under the sun. Be careful. A lot of people are enamored with some of this new stuff. Be careful because the Holy Spirit's going to guide us into all things. All right, look at this. I'm through. And then verse 13, how be it. I want to tell you, but I can't. You can't bear them now. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And it makes sense. How could Jesus teach Peter and James and John about revelation when they have not even officially launched the church yet? I mean, there's a lot of debate about when the church started, but you know what I'm saying. The church is about to really take off and explode and get the gospel to the world. Nobody needs to learn about revelation yet. But our adult Sunday school class has enjoyed a six-month series on revelation, right, Brother John? Has it been a year? April, so about 6 months. And it was supposed to be a thing like just two or three Sundays, and now we're sitting here loaded up with revelation. Why? Jesus is like, it's okay. The Holy Spirit's there helping guide you. So Jesus says, listen to me, church. I said it to them, but I'm still saying it to you now on October 5th, 2022. Listen, church. You ready for this? You ready? The Holy Spirit's with you. I have left and I have given them unto you, and he's going to be with you forever. And he will guide you into all things, and he will comfort you, and he will love you, and he will reprove the world of sin. But he's got you. You're going to make it. You're going to be okay because the Holy Spirit is with you. You don't have to see him. You know him because he dwelleth in you and will be with you forever. I mean, he hypes him up. Wow. And we have him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And thank you, Father. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you so much.